You are listening to episode number 102 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 102nd edition of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, I, as always and forever, will be your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight, our good friend Taser.
¿Cómo está usted?
And our secret Russian partner, Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Da.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 102nd. You do this 102 times, you kind of run out of creative things to introduce people. Live with it. Anyways, Darth Primus kicks ass, by the way. Thank you for your comments this week.
Your comments are stupid and the shocker rules. The shocker rules!
But let's get right into it with some news. If you're a fan of comics, fan of superhero comics, under the name Neil Adams should mean something to you. Obviously, did a extensive run, but not talked about a lot, run on the X-Men back in the 60s and 70s. His most famous work, obviously, being on Batman in the 70s with Danny O'Neill, revitalizing that Creature of the Night aspect, introducing characters such as Ra's al Ghul, and making Batman globetrotting. And of course, the last thing he recently did at Marvel was about a little over a year ago, the new Avengers 16.1 or something, where the escape of Norman Osborn and Osborn escaped incarceration. That's the last time we saw him.
Yeah.
So now, I believe it was last week, right, Brian?
Yes.
Marvel teased us with the first X-Men. Nobody knew what that is, but now it's been confirmed that this is a new, I believe it's a mini-series, written and co-plotted by Christos Gage, who's currently writing X-Men Legacy, and with Neil Adams, and Neil Adams drawing on it. So, Brian, let's go to you, our news correspondent. What are some of the details that somebody should point out for the first X-Men?
The first X-Men, I believe, both came about and, in fact, thanks, Taser. Thanks. Anyway, the book touches upon the same idea of Avengers 1959 that just struck, I think, a few months ago, in that it tells a yet untold story of the earliest days of the X-Men, but not necessarily operating in the same way that we would come to know them as in the 60s and so on. The team itself will consist of people like Wolverine, Sabretooth, Charles Xavier, and a Nazi-hunting Magneto, as I believe they meet with the government and initially clash with it, and that will chart the course for what is to come as we look forward into the actual X-Men series, as it was told in the 60s.
It's a horrible idea. I don't want to read this book.
Shocker looks like a condom.
What? Huh? Huh?
Right.
So basically, it's in a nutshell, it's a revisionist history of the X-Men, of Charles Xavier, Magneto, and Wolverine, Sabretooth.
Taser, shut up.
The way I see it is this: Neil Adams finally returning to the X-Men after nearly 40 years, when he kind of helped save the book from cancellation, because. If you look at it, if you talk to anybody historically, the X-Men were not the biggest sellers back in the 60s. They weren't. He helped keep them afloat. So to me, I see it as this. I see people criticizing it and the revisionist history, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit about that. To me, this is just a way for Neil Adams to go nuts, go crazy, use Wolverine, use these characters, and, you know, have Magneto hunt Nazis. It's just going to be an it's going to be a fun story. And I'm treating this not as a revisionist history, despite that's what marketing of Marvel is going to want me to think. I don't follow for their tricks. This is just a fucking Elseworlds. This is the first iteration of the X-Men, and the team that formed X-Men number one never happened. That's how I'm viewing this. And it's fucking Neil Adams. I love Neil Adams. I've said this before. Neil Adams is one of Neil Adams is one of the great artists.
Did you get that mixtape I sent you, Neil? Neil!
Neil Adams is one of the greatest artists of our time and should be revered as that. And, you know, granted he's a little crazy, but, you know, he's old, but I'm still going to try it. It's again, it's Neil Adams. You're not going to get a lot of that, a lot of new Neil Adams stuff recently. Taser, I know you're not a fan, but go ahead and say your piece.
Not going to read it. Hate revisionist history. It's stupid. There you go.
Nothing about the man Neil Adams.
I don't care who's writing it or who's drawing it. The important thing is the story. You can get some hack to write a story, and you can get some gimp to draw it. But if the story itself, if the concept of it is, well, how about if we do a fresh new take for our modern-day readers? Yeah, despite the fact that there's a whole lot of older readers that are still reading this stuff. So then you're going to get somebody to come along, do a new take, and somehow or other that's going to filter its way into the main stuff. And you're like, huh? But when did this happen? I don't remember this. Oh, that was in this thing over here that somebody somewhere thought it was a good idea to just remodernize. What? Get the f*** out of here, you know? Avengers 1959 or whatever.
And nobody you know? Talks
yeah.
about
well,
that.
Well, Captain America, the first Avenger. Oh! So, yeah.
To be fair about the Captain America, the first Avenger, in that movie timeline, he is the first superhero, so that title works. For Avengers...
That makes him the first superhero, not the first Avenger.
He is the first Avenger.
No, because the Avengers weren't formed. What is he avenging? America?
He's the first Avenger. Yes.
For what?
The Avenger Initiative didn't even come to be until S.H.I.E.L.D. happened, and that was after World War II when Howard Stark co-founded it.
No!
Either way...
It doesn't matter. He's still the first Avenger. First Avenger, dude.
Well, I suppose in a metaphysical, in essence, kind of, he is the first Avenger. Technically speaking, he is the oldest superhero there, so he...
I'm not arguing
unless you count Thor.
That's not...
Thor is actually pretty damn old.
I'm not even fighting against that. What I'm saying is this. If you're an Avenger, you're avenging something. If you want to say... He's avenging the souls of Pearl Harbor. Oh, okay, they're fine. But let's be real here. Nobody's making that connection. They're thinking the Avengers, so he's the first member of the Avengers. And we know that's false. But
well, maybe he is, because he was probably first recruited way before they even recruited Tony Stark.
Right. Oh, shit. Yeah, okay, sure, fine.
Well, how do you... Because let's face it. We don't know... Fuck it. This is going to get off topic. Anyways... It is, because we could go on hours on how the Marvel movie timeline actually works. Technically, Thor is the last member to join the team, not Captain America. All right. I was going to make a point, but I forgot.
Derp.
It's Neil Adams. I know, Taser, you don't give a shit about, but I pay attention to that stuff, and I love his work, and I'm going to look at it.
I like his art, too. Don't get me wrong. I don't get gassed over a particular writer or a particular... artists going onto a book, you know, because what I care about is the character, not who's writing him and not who's drawing him. That's you know, that's really me, you know. Yeah, and that's because I'm as old.
But like with Avengers, Avengers 1959, they did that story. Yes, it was annoying to have a new Avengers. Then they did it, and then they did a miniseries, and nobody fucking talked about it again.
It was dumb.
And nobody read it. Okay, and you're worried is that it's gonna seep into the main book. If it doesn't sell enough, they're not gonna be encouraged to use that shit anymore. They're not gonna bring it back again, because I guarantee you that new Avengers 1959 stuff didn't sell shit. I'm surprised they allowed it to finish the 5-issue miniseries. Probably out of respect to Howard Chaykin.
What I'm worried about is the little stuff that gets through, like Wolverine where his claws come through his, you know, the gaps in his fingers as opposed to on top of his hand, or, you know, Spider-Man having organic web shooters, or Leonardo da Vinci showing up in New Avengers 26, you know, that kind of crap. Because remember, Leonardo da Vinci was an adventurer and a superhero in his own right, right? Remember those days?
Well, technically in
the can't see it, but I'm doing a jacking off motion right now.
Technically in the S.H.I.E.L.D. book, he's not a superhero, but he's technically still
alive.
Fuck
S.H.I.E.L.D. That book was a fucking mind freak.
It hasn't come out yet. It's not even over.
It's exactly.
It's horrible. Either way, if you're into revisionist history, it's good for you. If you're a person who just can't accept the idea of then it's probably not for you. So let's move on to something hopefully a little bit more lighthearted. We've seen Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. We've seen Wolverine kills the Marvel Universe. Now we got Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Breaking the fourth wall, cracked the world. He divided by zero.
Yes, he did. But there's more than two within that. Essentially, it isn't in the same universe as the Wolverine and the Punisher books. It's in its own little thing, because that was when a whole zombie plague, Marvel Zombies, but not Marvel Zombies, event took place. This one is essentially just about everything in the Marvel Universe is exactly the same, except for Deadpool, he is no longer the wisecracking mercenary for hire. He is just a psychopathic killing machine who does it because he likes to kill. Because it's never a personal kill with him, unless it's like a big, big event, I would assume, but in this one, he personally makes it his mission to go after every Marvel superhero and superheroine and take them down because he just wants to see them die.
Well, that sounds like it's got a bit of a bite.
Oh, and here's the best part. The guy writing it is named Cullen Bunn.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. It's just a stupid name.
Anyway, okay, so it looks like he's going to kill the Marvel Universe. It should be fun, I guess, if you're into Deadpool, which means I won't touch it with a 10-foot pole because I don't give a shit about Deadpool.
You're reading Uncanny X-Force.
I don't like him in the solo setting. Better?
This is about him killing everyone in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but the thing I didn't read, because there's been two Punisher kills in Marvel Universe. There's one by Garth Ennis and there's one that they did recently. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be fun. It could be entertaining.
That was Punisher versus. And then it was Wolverine versus.
The thing with Deadpool, it takes the right jokes, because Deadpool can get annoying really fast. He's like that kid brother who just doesn't know how to shut the fuck up. He's like Spider-Man on crack. The thing is, if this was a one shot, I would try it. How many issues is this supposed to be?
It's a 4-issue miniseries.
See, that might be
published weekly in August.
Okay, then that might be fine. It all depends on what's coming out that week. But I mean, it could be fun to see the thing is, will you actually show him killing them? Because this isn't under the Max line. This is under regular Marvel Universe line. So
yeah,
they're not.
At least it's not the Marvel Adventures line.
Taser.
At least
Taser.
That would be funny.
Oh God, Taser! Why?
But at least it's not the Marvel.
Think about the children.
But I think
the children.
This could be fun. I mean, Deadpool has always a capacity to be fun, to be funny. It all depends on the writer and Cullen Bunn. Marvel has a hard on for this guy. They're like pushing him on a lot of books.
I like Deadpool.
You know, so. Brian, what about you? You're the Deadpool loyalist.
Yes. I am pretty in love with the concept, but I love everything Deadpool, so I know my opinion probably doesn't hold much regard as far as you two go. But I'm really excited for this. It's interesting because those of you who read Deadpool, you know that everything he does, it's usually never personal. He's hired to do a job. He wisecracks with the guy he's gonna kill, and then he kills him. You know, no hard feelings. At least he tries to play it that way. This is him taking on a personal mission to kill Captain America, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, Punisher, Wolverine, all those guys. And it'll be interesting to see how he fares against each one of them, because Deadpool has often been portrayed, on top of everything else, as kind of like, oh great, he's here, and we have to deal with him. Yeah, pretty much. He's a comic relief mercenary character guy. This, to see him try and seriously take on some of these people, I'm definitely looking forward towards. And you know you'll be in the loop because I'll be reading the book every single time.
Yep.
Every week it's released, I'll pick it up, and I'll just be interested, like, ooh, he's going to face this guy? How's he going to kill him? How's he going to take this guy on? How's he going to do this? And when that happens, I will be so excited. Taser, so, yeah, there's
what,
that.
What about you, Taser?
I am the exact opposite of the emotional spectrum. emotional spectrum. that Felix happens to be. Yeah, right. I could not care less. Not because I dislike Deadpool or anything, but this will just be the third somebody killing the Marvel Universe story that I won't read because of lack of interest. This story doesn't interest me in the least. You know,
it's not Deadpool the same as the Wolverine and Punisher ones. What part of that am I not making clear?
No. But I still have no interest in reading it. You know, I'm just saying. This is the third in the this one character kills a bunch of people in the Marvel Universe story. You know, I have no interest in that. It doesn't tickle the short hairs at all. You know, it does nothing for me. I'm not interested in the slightest.
I just want to throw this out here before we move on to what the reviews and stuff. Idris Elba's coming back as Heimdall for those of you who like your gods with a bit more coffee in their cream. So.
Jessica Alba's going to be Heimdall? I'd pay to watch that.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Edie? Edie's ice cream? Something like that? My bad.
Anyway. I always just said Idris.
Well, we know Wes will be happy with his man crush because he loves Idris Elba.
He posted it. He's the one where I got it from.
Okay, one more bit of news before we move on.
Who's making attacking motion?
That I completely forgot about is Taser, you and I, and I think, Brian, are you still reading Venom?
I never picked up the book to begin with.
What? Either way, you're a bitch.
Yeah, fuck Venom.
Just like, cause just because you don't want to watch Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes, you don't like good things, do you? No, what are you
little
doing?
How do you not watch that show?
Hey, you Taser, I actually need you to hook me up. Taser, I want you to hook me up with the show off online and elsewhere. I know you're good at finding things. So.
In 2 seconds.
All right. So it turns out Rick Remender in 2010, was it 2010? No. It was last year. Last year, they launched the new Venom number one with Flash Thompson as the Venom, and we have been enthralled in his alcoholic, drunken adventures since, under Rick Remender and several artists, including A Trip to Hell. It turns out this August is going to be issue 22, will be Rick Remender's last issue of the series. He will be leaving for new series writer Cullen Bunn, Marvel's new up-and-comer guy, apparently.
He just took over Wolverine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which is also from another critically acclaimed writer, at least in my view. Jason Aaron, yes. I officially said it on the boards after that Rick Remender's last issue of Venom. I'm done. I will not be reading Venom anymore.
Punching out.
The thing is about it, and I have a more, not personal in that I know him, but I've read a lot more of Remender's stuff, and I know his, and he writes stories that I really enjoy. So I cannot imagine another writer, and a lot of people are telling me, give him a chance, like, no, I don't have to. I don't have to. Remender writes his characters with such a personal weight. And he's done it a lot in his books, and you may call that being a hack, but it works every time. And I can't imagine another writer making me care about Flash Thompson this much. Because Flash Thompson, for all intents and purposes, before this, to me, was one, the bully, and two, the war vet. That was it. There was no characters. Here, Remender, in a year and a half, fleshed him out, made me care about this character in a way I didn't care about him before. And I don't want to see what the next writer does to destroy that, despite that they say that they won't. It's, from what I hear, he wants them to make him more superhero-y. And I'm like, yeah, I'm punching out. I mean, I never cared about a Venom ongoing before this. You know, I detested Venom series in the 90s because of the whole weird shit they were doing with him and overexposing him, but this has been a nice little run, and those 22 issues, while not the greatest thing in the world, if you want a Venom story that's it's a little bit different, but still Kane's unique that is Venom, this is it. I'm going to miss him when he's gone. But yeah, Venom's going to be dropped come August. Taser, I know you're the only person who's reading this book, but I know you don't care about the writer, but do you have anything to say about this at all?
I'll say this. The notion of making him more superhero-y, yeah, I don't look forward to that. You know, I rather like the direction, most of the direction that this book has taken. I could do without the whole, I'm a moon over Betty because I had to let her go because I had these guys following me and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let Betty go and be done with her. My God. But
you did let her go.
Yeah, but then she's dead. You know, we're still dealing with Betty. Like, why are we still dealing with Betty?
Because the criminals are going to target
her. Let her die. Let her die. For God's sake. Betty Brant has been around too long. Let her ass die. Okay? As a matter of fact, if J. Jonah Jameson caught a bullet in the head tomorrow, I would not be upset. That being the case,
you have no soul.
Did I ever claim to?
Is that news? I just thought we always agreed upon that and agreed not to.
Where have you been? Should I still say Aunt May sucking cocks in
hell? Hey, it's Taser, the Rage Machine. Have you met him?
No, but the notion of making him, I like the idea of him being on Secret Avengers, even though I dropped that book. I'm not picking it up, even though he's on it. One character's not going to make a difference. But having him be on the fringe and still trying to make whatever he is work, even having Jack-O-Lantern hounding him and what's his name, Crime Master? I can't believe there was no other character with that name until this guy showed up. That's like, wow, who does that anymore? that's been interesting. But, you know, I don't like my heroes wallowing too much in their crap. That's boring. That's 90s shit. You know, and the 90s bored the hell out of me with all of its heroes. Like, oh, my life sucks anyway. That's why I stopped reading Spider-Man. So, yeah, if they start getting caught up in all of that, I'm probably going to bounce too. But if it's just very peripheral or whatever, I'll probably stick around for it. I
like the wallowing. That's 50-50.
That's because you like Kyle Rayner.
I don't like Kyle Rayner. We've been over this. KRMD.
He likes Peter Parker, which is the same character.
Done better and not a bitch. And
I don't Dude, really, when you have that much tail Parker after you and you're still complaining.
Either way, I'm dropping Venom.
You know how much of a gigolo Spider-Man could be if he just pushed himself on these girls instead of going back to Aunt May?
I would hook up with Silver Sable in a second.
He'd be that douche on their couch, like, I'll help you pay the rent in next month. Or, go away.
Get away with it. That's the best part.
Is he Spider-Man?
He slept with Black Cat, Mary Jane Watson. I'm pretty sure.
Hold on. Where did he sleep? Oh, well, Black Cat. Oh, that's two women.
Mary Jane.
What, the cop chick?
Mary Jane, the cop chick. I'm pretty sure.
But then it gets you.
Stacy.
Yeah,
back when Stacy.
That was because
she had her neck snapped.
That's because Norman Osborn back when Stacy. That's
And I'm
right.
going to kick you for bringing that shit up.
He tapped that and left his mark.
Twice. There were two of them.
All right, let's move on. I don't
two little Norman Osborn skid marks.
Oh, my God, that's awful. JMS, you should burn in hell for that. Oh, my God.
Okay, let's move on from this demented hellhole.
He's probably got video of it.
Let's move on to our book of the week, Uncanny X-Force number 25, the final extinction storyline.
That was Final Execution.
Final Execution? I don't know. A lot of it's similar words. So basically,
X, it's cool, it's edgy, it's X-Men, it's X.
So we have, Kid Apocalypse, he's going to play a big role in this later. So apparently Deadpool's cured, which Brian's going to fill us in on later how. Both, the story is basically Wolverine has sent Deadpool to infiltrate this place where you can buy mercenary, like personal homegrown mercenaries. So you can, instead of relying on the merc, where you have to, you could lose the merc, you know, because of the higher bidding stuff, like shit like that. You can personally grow them, and Wolverine wants to put a stop to this shit. And it turns out they were in on the game to begin with, and the Omega Clan, which is characters that are cloned from bits of the original Omega Red. So Omega Red's not back, but because of his DNA, he's kind of back, so yay. Turns out they knew about it. Meanwhile, both Phantom X and Psylocke quit X-Force because one of their... They just don't see the point of... Psylocke just doesn't want to... She's already killed... she didn't kill Kid Apocalypse, but she had the death seed implanted in her. She lost Warren. She killed her brother. She's basically, I don't want to do this anymore, and leaves. Phantom X, because Betsy's not there anymore, and he secretly loves her.
He's tapping that ass. He tapped it once.
Did we know that he was secretly in love with her?
Yeah, he admits
pretty it. Much from the onset.
Before this happened.
Yeah, he's like, there's something you can sense between.
Pretty much from the beginning, he had a thing for her, but she just didn't reciprocate because she had Warren.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she kind of sleeps with him out of curiosity. It was a one night stand, but because now she's gone, Phantom X doesn't see the point of staying around, so he's gone, and it's basically Age of Apocalypse, Nightcrawler, Deadpool, and Wolverine. That's all that's left fighting the Omega Clan. And they look to be powerful as shit. At the last panel, they seem to be infused, turning Nightcrawler really old and making Wolverine fat. I wasn't sure what was going on with Wolverine in that panel.
That's it. Making him fat.
But overall, I really like this story, you know? It was fun. I want to know more about the Omega Clan. And how what they're we already know they're connected.
Really? Because nobody else does.
It's I do. Omega Red's awesome.
Like I said, nobody else does.
I don't know why you don't like Omega Red.
I don't like any of them.
They're cool. They're mercenaries. They're homegrown mercenaries that are cloned from the original Omega Red. Anyways, also included in this issue were two backup stories that were. Issues done by Rick Remender and his longtime collaborator, Jerome Pena. One was a little Wolverine. It was only a couple pages, but Wolverine basically, same old story, he goes to another town, has sex with a woman, and kills a bunch of people. He even kills a woman at the end. Kills a woman that he just had sex with, which was awesome.
Because that's how a man does it.
And the second one, which is Deadpool, the plot is so fucking ridiculous. Deadpool looks for this fat kid. He finds him, but gets captured by this obese woman who then straps him into a chair. And is it 4 months? Yeah, four months. Feeds him, and he's this overweight, fat guy.
Oh, my God.
And it's the funniest thing I read this week. Him trying to run, and this the look of strain as he tries to run. Him farting the construct out.
Think outside the bun.
Oh my God. Yo quiero for meal power. It was just nuts. And then finally he ends up escaping by, because all this chick servants are all super skinny.
No, the scene where he goes Ark of the Covenant, oh my God.
Yeah, turn away your eyes.
Don't open your eyes.
He basically turns her guards, because they're all like super skinny because they don't eat, and she eats everything, and they eat her, or it's implied that they eat her.
Somebody's been watching South Park.
I guess. This was done a long time ago. This isn't new. This is like an old story.
It could have been at the height of South Park's popularity and fame.
And they end the story by getting a sausage egg McMuffin at McDonald's, and riding little scooters, little for fat people. It was fucking that right there made the whole piece of this issue a fucking 5 out of 5 for me. The main story is really good. The Wolverine story was a typical Wolverine story, but still pretty good, especially because he killed the woman, not against women. And then just the fat story with Deadpool was just fucking genius. I give it a 5 out of 5 for me. Entertaining. If you're not reading X-Force, you should be reading X-Force. Taser, what did you, as the non continuing X-Force reader, what did you think of this issue?
Passable. It didn't make me... I still don't feel the urge to, you know, pick up the book and run with it, but if I didn't have any preconceived ideas whatsoever and I read this, I might stick around for a bit and start to... I would probably go back a couple of issues and find out, well, why is this chick leaving and, you know, what's going on here and why does this dude with the lips, why does he look like Joker? You know? Kid Apocalypse. I look at him, I see Joker. I can't help it. I didn't read the two backup stories, so when you started talking about it, I kind of went, huh, what? And now that I look at it, I'm like, oh!
It's pretty fucking funny.
I should have... You know, I'm looking at the Deadpool stuff now, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. And the conveyor belt thing with him being force-fed the freaking cheeseburgers, that's twisted.
Simpson but did it!
That reminds me of a Simpsons episode. Hom, you know, Homer in hell. Hom, 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 hom. All in all, if you're reading X-Force, you're going to like it. So that's not even a worry. If you're not reading this book, I can't recommend it. You know, I wouldn't
you
say
can't?
Go out there and pick it up because it's so awesome.
It's not exactly the best jumping on point, really.
No, well, I mean, and every book can be a jumping on point. It doesn't matter, but it gets a 3 from me. You know?
There shouldn't be a jump. This is a legacy. You have to go back and read from the beginning to get any.
Yeah, but remember. But Brian, remember, not everybody starts with a jumping on point. Most people pick up a book just out of sheer curiosity. In which case, I wouldn't wave them away from this. That's my point.
Nice,
you know, I would say, no, don't pick that up. That book is horrible. This wasn't a horrible book. It was a good book, but it's just a good book. It gets the job done, but it's not special. I can't recommend it. That's my point.
I'll say this: it was vastly superior. This one issue. Was vastly superior compared to the last arc. Not the one shot issue before this, but like the couple of issues with the weird art. This is infinitely better.
Otherworld!
I didn't feel as annoyed as reading this as I was reading New Avengers 26.
Save that for your review. Brian, what did you think of this issue?
I thought it was really good. I had to actually go back and read, because I started reading it before anything else, and I saw it takes place after Deadpool, so I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go back and I gotta read it. So I did that, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but this issue itself was, I thought it was pretty good. There's a lot of changes going on right now for X-Force that I see. Psylocke and Phantom X are out the door. Nightcrawler is working his way further into the group, whereas he probably really shouldn't be. And I think there was also mention of the Blob having running loose in their world. I don't know if that was... Does anyone know if that's, like, an actual what's going on in the book?
Wait, what?
Well, it seemed like there was mention that the Blob was out in the 616 instead of out
so.
Of the age
of... I don't remember when that happened.
I know. I don't remember it happening either, but that could... But regardless, there's a lot of changes to the lineup, a lot of setup, and... it's going to unfold, I guess, over the course of the story. I hope it does anyway. And I could have been more enthralled with the ending. We could have had a better villain, but
What's wrong with the Omega Clan? Because
nothing. But look at the caliber of villain we've had on this: Apocalypse, Archangel. We've had friggin' Otherworld dinosaurs and a psycho killer Iceman running around.
To be fair,
Omega Clan?
We don't know what these guys can do yet. We've only seen them.
We don't know them.
Exactly.
It's Omega Red. They make tentacles and they cause people to have.
Well, apparently none of them are Omega Red. It's just kind of.
It's from the DNA of the original.
Yeah, well.
So Omega Red is still dead.
But they still make tentacles that cause people to have problems. So again, what's the problem there? You know, I mean, what else do you expect from Omega Red? He was a guy with tentacles, and he made people have problems.
But these are not him. These are three different characters who they could have changed to add something more.
Well, yeah, because apparently the chick can make people go fat. Oh yeah.
I'm just saying, give him a fair chance. We haven't really.
Well,
seen
that's
everything.
Okay. That's understandable.
We haven't seen
anyway.
It's the first issue of this arc.
As far as the two backup stories go. The Wolverine one felt a bit like if I had seen it like in a television show, it'd be overacting, but it was good regardless. I thought it was decent. The Deadpool one had me rolling on the floor laughing my ass off. That one was just really, really good.
Rick Remender should take over Deadpool.
I agree. I especially love the ending of it where he's doing like the inspirational monologue and you see him like rolling away on rascals, and the ending is one man who refused to give up and who refused to give an inch, a hero who would stand slow, fueled by courage, a sausage patty, fresh egg, and English muffin, provided he made it before 10 a.m. And by God, he did. It's cherry on.
It's inspirational.
It is. It's an inspirational piece, and you see them rolling through the McDonald's drive-thru, and it is just it's one of the best things because it's not so like Deadpool, like in your face, ha ha, funny laugh, ha ha. It's more subdued comedy, and it's very good. It fits well, and the backup stories are just on equal footing with the main storyline in this issue, as far as I'm concerned. I thought it was a great issue all around. I was a little disappointed that Opeña didn't do the main art. He didn't come back. Is he off the book permanently now, or is he just on a break?
I think so. The thing with Opeña is that he's not that. I don't think he's that much of a monthly guy. Like he just has,
right.
Has other commitments elsewhere, from my understanding.
Right. Well, regardless, I enjoyed Mike McCone's art nonetheless. I tip my hat to you, Mr. McCone, for picking up, because that last arc with that art was. It was awful.
I'll say that last issue
melted my eyeballs.
Yeah, well, the last issue of that arc wasn't that bad. It was more clean. Like the storytelling wasn't.
Well, yeah, like the Iceman. Well, I was talking about the other world.
No, I'm talking about the last issue when she killed Jamie. You could tell what was going on more than the previous.
Yeah, yeah, but still, it was just so. Anyway, book was good. I'll be looking forward to see the payoff, if any, and my hat's off to McCone for taking over art, and the backup stories were a nice touch. So, right. I get a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, it was fun. If you have if anything for X-Force, I would encourage, like with superhero comics, you don't necessarily start from the beginning with this book. It really does pay off for you if you start from the beginning, and I think the reason me and Brian like this more maybe is because we've seen these characters actually progress and their storylines unfold over
the. That's true. There has been steady character development.
Yeah.
Where you see in a lot of books, they don't really have that.
Yeah. And it's weird. And it's a book called X-Force, which is like, you don't think that's going to. Like, you think Rob Liefeld and big pouches and blood, and this isn't the case. Which, by the way, I'm totally buying X-Force number one when.
I haven't thought about Rob Liefeld ever, so. It doesn't concern me.
I'm totally buying X-Force number one when my LCS opens up their back issue bins again for $1. So I want
it. Tell me about. Let me know how it is, because I won't be buying it.
Yeah, well, it's $1. So, anyways, that's our book of the week. Read X-Force. Read the Dark Angel Saga. It's great. So we're going to go right into individual reviews. And since the events of Deadpool number 54 take place before Uncanny X-Force number 25, Brian, explain to us what exactly happened in Deadpool number 54.
All right, here's the deal. What happens in Deadpool number 54 is essentially it's the fallout from Deadpool having sought out this serum that can kill him, and you know the players, the people involved, what they do now that Deadpool is. Okay, I'm gonna lay it on the table for you. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't read it. Deadpool is injected with a serum. His cancer is cured. His healing factor is null and void, and he's a handsome motherfucker.
Ooh.
That's what we're playing with right now. So, essentially what happens is, now that he's cured and he's human, essentially, for all intents and purposes, now he's got to watch his ass, because anybody can kill him with a bullet to the heart or anything like that. So, now, Deadpool used Bob, Agent of Hydra, as he normally does, to help him get this. But now that he can see what it's like to be human almost, he almost empathized with Bob, and he cuts a deal with X-Force to give him some time so that he can get Bob away, so that like the Kingpin and Tombstone don't come after him for the part he played in screwing them over. So essentially what we get is we get Deadpool helping out a friend with a newfound sense of humanity, and him coming back to good terms with X-Force, whereas normally everyone was just going to say, fuck it, let's kill him. And it's really, really an interesting direction the book is going, because, you know, Deadpool, he's not dead. It's kind of a misnomer for the story arc, but he can be dead. He's for all intents and purposes, he is killable now. He's human, and he is not the man who he was, because now that he's, you know, human, he has empathy. He can see why Bob was so scared of doing these things for him, and why he's so pissed at Deadpool all the time for screwing him over. And so it really, really is an interesting take on Deadpool, and I'm looking forward to how this whole thing concludes itself, because now we have, what do you, now I believe, yeah, this is the end of Dead, but now we get Deadpool going into his ongoing, completely, you know, killable, and...
So he doesn't have a healing factor.
No, his healing factor, because when the cancer cured itself, the serum was to kill him, but in fact, it actually cured him, so that he can be killed. You see what I'm saying?
So he doesn't have a healing factor?
No, the thing took away...
Oh, God, he's nuts.
It took away his cancer, but it also took away his healing factor.
But wow, Deadpool is crazy. Why would you be part of X-Force? So he's just a guy.
Yeah, he's still a part of X-Force with no healing factor to back him up.
Wow, he's gonna die.
We'll see how he fares, because I find it kind of interesting. This is gonna be sort of like it's gonna be interesting to see how he fares, regardless. So. It really is an interesting direction they're taking it. And it's cool to see it playing on other facets of his character, too. He's not he's not still the same Deadpool in X-Force, like you pointed out. So I'm really happy for that. And I honestly, Way has done a great job. Daniel Way, he's done a great job writing this book. I love this arc, and I love the direction he's taking Deadpool in. It's different, it's new, and I'm excited to see what the consequences of this are. So my hat's off to Way. I gave it a solid 4 out of 5. It was a very well done story. Sure, it had a few hinks here or there, but regardless of that, it's a storyline we're checking out, because now this sets a standard for Deadpool in all the Marvel universe, not just in his own ongoing. So.
All right, Taser, Leonardo da Vinci in New Avengers 26. Take it away.
Leonardo da Vinci showing up in this book was more of a, what the, huh? It was good to see UT. I like Kun Lun. I like watching the new girl, Fong Ji, or however the hell you, General So's chicken girl, get tossed around and land face first and stuff like that. And then I kind of cringed when what's his name? Lee Kung goes to help her out, and she like takes his knife and then gives him a kick right to the face. I'm like, that's Lee Kung, you know. And of course, you know, she gets schooled again. But most of this book was all about her training. Must train, train. Must do the training.
That's in every martial arts movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you kill my teacher. I go away for 20 years and train to learn secret kung fu technique, chopstick way. The girl, they go to get a freaking, what's his name? They go to bring in Da Vinci, and the girl's, you know, ready and waiting, you know, and she goes through training with him around. We don't see him really talk to her much. And then she goes into the cave to do the test. We don't see the test, but she comes out with, look, I'm an Iron Fist. See, Master, I can talk too. I speak words. And... yeah. I mean, this book amounted to nothing, you know? It's like, so what are we saying here? There's exposition, there's a couple of cool, shaded, well-drawn fights. You know, I like the art. The art is pretty good.
Diodato's been on his game with this book. I'll give him that.
Well, I've rarely had a problem with Diodato. I'll say that. But I'm like, what? Big deal. And the last page is, oh, look, it's the Phoenix is coming. Woo! They'll do something next issue. Yay. This book was a waste of time. I see her charging, holding the Iron Fist, and I'm like, so? Who cares? This is probably
one of the worst bits of revisionist history that I'm going to...
I would just like to... Taser, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, but I would just like to reiterate, where the hell was this guy the first three times the Phoenix stopped by on Earth? Seriously, exactly. That's one of the biggest problems I have with this story.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair about the first one, the Phoenix showed up, went away, killed those 500 billion people, came back for maybe half an hour, and then left again.
And then came back.
No, I'm talking about in the Dark Phoenix saga when she fought Gladiator and stuff like that. That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, but I'm talking about when it came and it came back with Rachel Summers.
You're missing it. I'm talking about the very first time. I'm excusing that one because, like, okay, it was here and there and it was gone.
Which is fine.
After that,
but
then it's
then
bullshit.
Then we have Rachel Summers.
After that, it's bullshit, yeah.
You know, so... And hold on now, though. If we want to be legit about it, Jean Grey was Phoenix... While it wasn't a long time, she was Phoenix for long enough for something to have happened if it was going to happen. And while the short answer is, well, it didn't happen, and the truth is, well, because nobody came up with this fucking idea, still in all. You know, but the way everything is foretold.
She had her Phoenix powers for a while before she went Dark Phoenix.
Right. So...
It's stupid. And I didn't buy this, and I dropped this book because I'm like, I don't mind the revisionist history idea. I don't care. It's the execution that I'm worried about. And the execution in last issue was just so horrible that I looked at this issue... And I saw it, and I knew it was going to be about. I said, no.
I don't feel for this girl who doesn't talk, and we have no idea what her background is. She just gets found, and she's taken in. And I'm like, Master UT's a pervert. We know he really brought this girl in because she got green eyes and red hair. He's
who, Exotic?
He's going to tap it, you know? I mean, who wouldn't? She's young.
Probably assume legal. Bending crane position.
Exactly. Why do you think he was giving her flexibility lessons? But yeah, this book was a waste of time. I'm going to give it a 2.5. Actually, yeah, I'll give it a 2.5 warriors out of 5 for the art. The story, you know, Bendis needs to get smacked in the back of his head. Seriously. Because it's like, well, what are you doing? Why? Bendis, you baka. I didn't even get any Spider-Man witticisms in this. You know? No Spider-Man. And how often do I clamor for Spider-Man? So, yeah, there you go.
All right, well, I'm going to go now. I'm up next with Fury Max, number 1, written by Garth Ennis of Preacher and The Boys fame. I think Taser loves The Boys, don't you?
Yes.
All right, so this is him. So. Apparently there was a Fury Max book like years ago, and I didn't read that. So this is, again, the Max line's not in continuity. This takes place in 1954, and I believe this is somewhere in Southeast Asia. It's somewhere in Southeast Asia, and Fury, because of something, an incident in North Korea, he has been demoted. He's lucky to have this position here. And he's in Indochina, which is basically Vietnam, Laos, current area today, but under French control. That's what it's called, Indochina. So Fury is there to basically survey, to sort of just keep watch of everything, despite that he only has one eye. Meanwhile, he's joined by this really, really handsome-looking guy who's very, very uppity. He's very optimistic.
He has killed many Jews. Yes.
That's the Nazi. That's the Nazi that they have at the end. But anyways, he's also joined by Miss Diafabo, whose first name escapes me for the love of God. And she kind of sets who she is at the very beginning. She has his, I'm assuming he's Irish or Scottish, hitting on her, and he lets her hit on her, basically stabs him in the eye, kicks him in the balls. Freaking beats them the crap out with a chair, and then breaks a beer bottle. It's like, come on, all you bitches, I'm gonna take all you on. Fury basically recruits her to join him. Shirley DiFabio, I guess. Fury recruits her, And the ending scene was basically, there's a nice sort of political aspect. You get interested in one of the Morn characters. He's the senator who's there, and he's expecting China's defenses. And, of course, I'm pretty sure with Garth Ennis, it's going to come into play sooner or later. This line made me chuckle, where Sophia Shirley tells him this guy's suit costs $250 a night. And he goes, how much? Like, $250. Jesus, somebody better suck a good dick. She just simply says, somebody does.
Oh.
So, yeah, Fear's going to get some from this chick. She's, and they end up going to this camp where are they French legionnaires? Right, Brian?
Yeah, they're legionnaires.
Yeah, the legionnaires, and they're being trained by this ex-Nazi, and Fury tells them there's talk of West Germany, allowing to form an army. Again, this is 1954. So, and he's like, not me. I think it wouldn't look good too for them. I killed too many Jews. And then one of the guys just says, what? And this is the end. So, if you want I don't even know how to describe this. Like, I heard a lot of people talking about it, and I got this a week late because of the shipping accident we mentioned last week. I thought it was good, you know. It was interesting. The art by Parlov, I think it's Goran Parlov, I think. Goran Parlov. It was good. It did the service. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't hooked. The first page was cool, but after that, I'm thinking, well, what's the point? I kind of don't want to know what happens next. I kind of don't care. It didn't hook me enough. It seemed to me Garth Ennis ran out of pages at the end, and he ends it on that cliffhanger. I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, why is Fury there? I guess we should find out in issue two, but I don't know. I give it a 2 out of 5. It was okay. It wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. Issue 2 comes out this week, so we're gonna. It was. I mean, if you're into Fury and you wanna, I'm pretty sure it's fucking Garth Ennis. The guy is known for his violence, so I'm pretty sure as it goes on, it's gonna get a lot more violent. So, but let's.
Did you mean violenter?
Violenter, yeah. Violenter is not even. Is that a word?
No,
whatever.
It's not.
All right, so we're gonna move on to our topic of the week now, which Taser posted to us. Obviously, with AVX, there has been two personality changes into two characters. Well, Wolverine's been established before, but we're going to go with it. If it's revealed that one, either Cyclops or Wolverine is a Skrull, which I don't think it's going to be the case, but we're just playing hypothetical here, which one would we be more satisfied if it was a Skrull? And for me, if they told me that the Wolverine, and this is because I've read Wolverine more than I have Uncanny X-Men, and I've stuck with Wolverine longer in terms of his own book and what his arc has been, if they told me that that was just a Skrull, I would be fucking pissed. And to me, it would just tarnish. It would slightly tarnish the overall enjoyment I've had of Wolverine. And maybe someday I could probably just say, okay, this is just Wolverine. It's not a Skrull. It's not a Skrull. It's not a Skrull. But I would really feel cheap if it was Wolverine. Cyclops, I would buy it more from going from this sop of a guy to this militaristic leader of mutants in a matter of 3 years, or Marvel Universe line maybe a year and a half. Yeah, if it were to be Wolverine, I would lose my collective shit. Because I like Wolverine more than Scott Summers. I like what they've done with Wolverine. I know Taser doesn't, but I've liked it. I've enjoyed it. Taser, what about? I was expecting to hear something sarcastic.
My mind was filled with so many thoughts. They all jammed themselves into my mouth at once. I was left there going.
So what about you? Who would you be more satisfied if it was revealed they were Skrulls?
If it hadn't have been for Schism, I would have easily said Cyclops. But because of Schism, and because of that first issue of Wolverine and the X-Men, and then looking over at X-Force and him talking about letting the beast run wild. And you know, that's what he's good for, and that's what people use me for. Blah, 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 blah. Bitch, whine, moan, complain. Which it sounds like he's making there, but then, you know, I look at him talk. I look at him complain about, you know, people coming to get him to kill here, and then I go back to that first episode, that first issue of Wolverine and the X-Men, when he has the kid in his hands, and he just goes, "Oh, I'm baking brownies, and I think they might burn. I have to go. Please, excuse me, sir. I'll come back for you later." There are no words to express how. There's none, you know. Had it not been for Wolverine and that most recent those most recent events, I would have easily said Cyclops, because I'm sorry. While I don't mind a character who shows stones and he's got backbone and he's not afraid to go screw them, I like that. You know, it's one thing to. Okay, Schism, they started a fight because he went to do something. Wolverine said, and he bitched up and went, "It's all about Jean, isn't it?" Like, say, what? Okay. And then this thing here with the Captain America. I'm not telling you, Scott. Give me hope. Get off my property! Like, what? You know, respect my authority. You know, I'm like, wow. So, yeah, that level of behavior is, like, way out there. But I would probably have to say Logan, just because it seems like each book is New Avengers, regular Avengers, Wolverine, Wolverine and the X-Men and X-Force don't seem to be having the same guy. You know, it's like six different guys. So because of that fractured personality, I have to go Wolverine on this question with a Cyclops chaser, you know? Cyclops is right behind him.
Too bad none of them are Skrulls. Brian, they're not Skrulls. Brian, what about you? Which one would you be more satisfied if they were Skrulls?
In all honesty, I'd probably be more surprised about Wolverine being the Skrull. Frankly, because the Cyclops that we have now isn't really so much a surprise, except for recently. I mean, if you've read the new X-Men back with Grant Morrison, back when he was, you know, he was first used by Apocalypse and then just kind of brought back, and he was kind of, you know, he wasn't really himself. That it wasn't really a surprise that he started to become more. Yeah. It wasn't a surprise he became more militaristic. It wasn't, you know, unforeseeable. Wolverine all of a sudden decides one day, I'm going to take these kids, the future mutant generation, I'm going to take them to a school, and I will be their god. And previously, this man had only ever half-bonded with, like, one or two people, like Kitty Pryde and Jubilee. Now he's taking on a whole school's worth of them to get him away from Cyclops' influence. And it just seems like more of a dramatic character shift in terms of what they once were. Because Cyclops was always going to be the leader of the X-Men, despite what he had to, he was always going to be more clinical about things because that's just who he is. He's a by the book, straight laced guy. Wolverine was a hack 'em up, you know, throw me at him, curveball special. He was an assassin, and now he's playing, you know, principal, you know, friggin' Belding from Saved by the Bell or some shit. You know, it's.
Make it a better place.
So, that said, Wolverine would be the more logical choice. It would surprise me if Cyclops was a Skrull. It would, because I wouldn't have seen that would be playing on so many years of character development, you know, from like New X-Men onwards and such. But I will say that as far as Cyclops is concerned, when he did that whole bit with Captain America, It reminded me of a moment from a comic book title from the Distinguished Competition, who we're afraid of mentioning. Essentially, what it is their big team came knocking, looking for a fugitive team member. He's like, you know, give us to him. And then that person, who is possessed by the guy they're looking for, pretty much just goes, they can't have him. And that was one of the clearest indicators of him being mind-fucked in one way or another. And so it kind of was reminiscent of that for me. And so if it did happen, I would probably point to that moment as having been the point where it's like, okay, that's where I saw it could be coming. But if Cyclops did turn out to be a Skrull, I would be more surprised. I wouldn't be as surprised as Wolverine. It's just the more logical choice just because of the turn the character has taken. So Wolverine for logic, Cyclops for the shocker.
All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That ends episode number 102. If you want to contact us, contact us at the warriors3@gmail.com, twitter.com/warriors3pcast. We're on Facebook. Also, the greatest message board of all time, thegreenlanternaccord.com/forum. And you might be hearing about a certain video game show coming back. Maybe. As soon as I edit it.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
We'll see y'all next week for episode number 103. Yay! Woo-hoo!